so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want you to go with me. We're going to go to three different passages of Scripture today. And I want to talk to you this morning about how to go from thinking to life change. How to go from thinking to life change. Now, I promise you that somebody in this room, before the service is over, is going to say, Pastor, are we in a self-help program? And the answer is yes, you're at church. If Jesus don't help you, there ain't no hope for you. If Jesus don't help you, there ain't no help for you. If Jesus can't get me out of the situation that I find myself in from time to time, there ain't nobody who can get me out of it. Can you say amen? So I want you to go to the book of Mark, chapter 7, verse 20. And we're going to be reading from the New Living Translation today. Why? Because that's the one I wanted to read from today. Because I like the verbiage of it. Mark chapter 7, that's in the New Testament for you Bible scholars. It is in... It is one of the four Gospels. I want to wait and let you turn there because I want you to underline it. I want, if you're on your mobile device, I want you to highlight it and or whatever. If you don't have a Bible whatsoever, you heathen. I'm kidding, kind of. Mark chapter 7. If you're there, say amen. Here's what it said. And then he added, it is what comes from inside. It is what comes from inside of you, inside that defiles you. It's what that comes out of you from the inside is what defiles you. From within people, from their hearts, from evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. Wait right there, Mike. I want you to go back, matter of fact, two verses. From within, out of a person's heart. Now, you can write this down. I'll be gone before you get there. But in Proverbs 4:23, the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. You make decisions based on what's in your heart. You make decisions based on what you believe. You make decisions based on what's going on inside. If you want to know what's really going on inside somebody, just shut up and listen for a little while. Because whatever they're passionate about is going to come out of them as you give them the opportunity to talk. Amen? You get around somebody who loves shopping, it's going to go to shopping. You get around somebody who loves Harleys, it's going to come out. You get around somebody who loves boating, it's going to come out. You can begin to listen if you can hear what's on the inside of them. And here's what Jesus said, for out of them, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceitful, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness is what's in some of us. Now, I'm not going to raise my hand at all that's in me. But we all know that some of that's in us. We all know that if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus over us and the grace of God on us, that we'd be in bad shape. Aren't you glad? I've used this before, but aren't you glad that it is not scrolling up on the big screen what's going through everybody's mind? Ooh, Jesus. Now, it'd be one thing to scroll up there what's going through your mind in church, but what about all week? I wouldn't show up. I ain't gonna lie, I wouldn't even show up to church if it's gonna be rolling up there. I don't know. Mm-mm. People know I'm crazy, but now they're really gonna know. Verse 23, Mike says this, all these vile things come from within. They come from within. They are what defile you. Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Verse 9 says, keep putting into practice. Wait a minute. Keep putting into practice. Keep, my God, I could preach right here a little while. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, Paul's saying. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. If you do what you saw me do, if you do what I said to, if you do what you learned from me, then the God of peace will be with you. Now here's what gets me. No, go back. I'm not. Quit pushing me. You're doing good, Mike. It's all right. Go back. Go back. Go back, I said. Thank you. Yeah. Keep putting into practice. Well, Pastor, I'm saved. So if I'm saved, it ought to automatically be in me now. No, you got to keep putting into practice what you began. Amen? If, you know, listen. I can tell you from, and I use this analogy because everybody can relate, I believe, that the analogy is I know how to lose weight, and as long as I keep knowing what to do about my weight, guess what? I stay a little thinner than what I am. But when I quit practicing what I know and I start picking up them Snicker bars and I start picking up them large paydays and some Reese cup, come on somebody, and some Breyers ice cream, God be the glory. If I start picking some of that up and start visiting Dairy Queen again, I feel the Holy Ghost talking to me right now. But when I start going to those places again and eating those things not out of moderation, but I begin to eat those things because I want it and I want it now. I don't practice what I know, then my body begins to show it. And when you don't practice, put into practice what you've learned, then your spirit and your life begins to show it. Putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace. You want God to be with you? Do what the Bible says. Last verse is this. 1 Peter 1:13. So think clearly. Boy, here comes a four-letter word in the church. And exercise self-control. There I hit. I went ahead and cussed, didn't I? Exercise self-control. Look forward to the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Exercise self-control. Father, I pray that you help me convey the word and the message that you placed on my heart and in my spirit in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. For those of you that might be a little new, we do have what you see up on stage. We do have it on a app called YouVersion. YouVersion is Y-O-U version. And if you go there on your mobile device and you do a search for live events and search for CRCOG, then you will have the notes that you see up here on, because there's a lot of, I love, and maybe it's because of my mind, you know, I don't like these people who use these long things that you can never remember. So one-liners, I can remember those. So this message is chock full of some one-liners from some people I love to read. One of my favorite authors is John Mason. John Mason is a Christian, but he's also he helps you so much, and so I really like John Mason. For those of you, he wrote a book called An Enemy Called Average. My God, that'll help you. All right, but let me go ahead and get into this. Step number one, what do I do, Pastor? How do I go from life change or thinking from life change? Because all of us think it, right? We all think, well, I got to do better. We all think, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do that. But if it never leaves what you're thinking, then it's never going to happen. When you change your thinking, you change your beliefs. So you got to start changing what you think, because what you consistently think on is what you're going to eventually believe. If you think on it long enough, you're going to believe it. Why do you think that the American society has pushed down our throat of the church that the Constitution says separation of church and state? They do it because if they say it long enough, some of us will believe it. Let me tell you, that is false. It was a letter that was written. It is not part of the Constitution. Now, but we think that if we think it enough, if we think on these things enough, you start believing it. You begin to change your beliefs. So I'm going to work you through, if God will help me, through a 6-step process of how to change. And it begins with your thinking. We've got to change the way we think. And in order to change the way we think, we've got to change the stuff that we read, the stuff that we view, and the stuff that we put into our spirit. The Bible says in Romans 12:2 that be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why it's so important for what you say to your children and say to your spouse, because it is getting in their spirit and they begin to believe what you say. If you tell your child that they're a dummy all the time, then guess what? They're probably going to be a dummy. Unless they're like me and just rebellious enough to go, I'll show you, by God. How many know what I'm talking about? How many people in this room, has people ever spoke stuff over you and it made you mad enough to change? And you just had a booyah moment. You know what I'm talking about. You know, you're always going to be an alcoholic. Well, here I am, booyah, I'm not now. You're always going to be this, booyah, I ain't now. Right? You've got to get that into your spirit. It begins with your mind. Beliefs are nothing more than a byproduct of what you have thought long enough about that you have bought into. That's what beliefs are. You've thought about it long enough, you bought into it. Why do I believe in? Why do I believe that Jesus can change? Because I've thought about it long enough and I bought into it. And when I bought into it, he began to change my life. Come on, somebody. And when he began to change my life, well, Pastor, this is self-help. No, no, no. It's the Holy Spirit. It is God, because I've tried it by myself, but then I've tried it with God. You can ask some folks who've been in AA and all these other different ones, and it'll talk about self-help. But every one of them says you got to have a higher power. But let me tell you who the higher power is. When you can put a face to it, when you can put a name to it, his name is Jesus. His name is Yahweh. He can help you. He can give you hope. But you've got to believe that he can. But you got to believe that it's not only on him. All right? What you believe is a collection of continual thoughts that have formed themselves into a conviction. See, the problem is most of the people in America don't have any convictions. And that's why we have the trouble that we have in America. We don't value life. We value I'm important and I'm entitled. Oh, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I'm entitled. We have bought into the beliefs that nobody can tell me what to do. And then you get on the job and you think the same thing. Just because your mama and daddy didn't whip your behind enough, now you get on the job and think you can tell the boss man what is and what ain't. No, no, no. It's called fire. Lord Jesus. My oldest daughter's an HR manager. I cannot believe what it takes to fire somebody now. It takes an arm and leg. Why? Because everybody feels entitled. I remember when I worked for Winco, man, I come in, if I didn't like you, I'd just fire you. Now, I never did that. I had to fire somebody in my church one time. Woo! Come on, somebody. I was the associate pastor, worship leader, and I had to fire. You think it's bad? I fired my pastor's son. Yeah. And how did you handle that? Here's what I said. I said, I'm sorry. I walked in that morning. I said, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to let you go. He said, well, you a Christian. I go, yes, I am. And I want to continue to be a Christian. So I'm going to have to fire you. He said, but I go to your church. I said, the devil will use whatever he can and will to make me have a bad day, and he continuously and constantly uses you. You fired. Amen. And this is not the pastor's son that I did this to. I did fire the pastor's son too. And then he came back one day. He's a big old boy, about 6'3". And he started to come in the back door. And I stopped him. I go, you can't come in here. Our insurance don't cover you. You can't come in here. And, you know, I've been in enough scraps to know when somebody finna swing on me. And he leaned forward. And I go, oh, you better back that bus up, boy. I said, I might be the associate pastor. I might be the worship leader. But you swing on me and I'm going to stomp a hole in you. I'm going to stomp a holy hole in you. Come on, somebody. I done been praying that Lord would give me the strength of Samson, that I can tear you from limb to limb. I wish to God you would swing on me. Glory to God. Oh, no, pastor, I wasn't going to swing. Oh, come on, swing. Anyway, that's just a whole nother story. I wasn't quite sanctified at that time. I'm getting there, though. I'm getting there. Although not all change is the same, there is one common element to change. And that is thinking. That is thinking. How many's ever decided? How many's ever like came to yourself and thought, wow, that's something I need to change in my life? Yeah. You know, if it were in a cartoon, a light bulb would go off. You had an epiphany. You had a paradigm shift. I think I need to change that. If you keep doing the same old thing and getting the same results, that's the clinical definition of insanity. Look at your neighbor and ask him, are you crazy? Don't answer that. When you break down the process of thinking into manageable numbers of steps, you reduce the perceived risk associated with change. See, some of us don't want to change because it's such a drastic change of what we did. We come to God and we fall at the altar and we go, I need an overhaul. And God says, yes, you do. Let's start with your heart. Let me cleanse your heart. And then you leave saved. You leave with your heart cleansed and you're saved, but you're wondering why you're still dragging all your baggage. You wonder why you still got all these asks. I'm saved. Why do I still have the desire? Why is people still pulling on me? Why is stuff that I know ain't good for me still pulling on me? Because Jesus ain't finished the work on you yet. And you ain't started what you need to start. Listen, being creative is when you think about your thinking. You ever thought about your thinking? How do I think? Well, if you have the Word of God, see, why does the devil want you to keep away from this? Because he knows if you start thinking like this, you begin to behave like this. When you begin to read this, put this in your spirit, if you watch Jerry Springer all the time, you're going to think like Jerry Springer folk and act like Jerry Springer folk, right? But if you read this and put this in you, the more this comes inside of me, the less Jerry Springer I act. Come on, somebody. Being innovative. Now, I'm going to say this again because I don't have it up there. Being creative is when you think about your thinking, but being innovative is when you act on your ideas. Step number two is this. When you change your beliefs, you change your expectations. You change your expectations when you begin to change your beliefs. See, I had a lot of things to overcome. Wait a minute, Pastor. Wasn't you born into a pastor's home? I was. And I was born into a pastor's home. And my father loved Jesus. But how many knows that you can love Jesus and be saved but still have wrong thinking? Because see, I was raised in a pastor's home and saved. But one of the reasons why I didn't want to get saved is I didn't want to be poor. Because all saved people were poor. And I didn't want to be poor. I was like, saved people are poor. No, saved people aren't poor. People who don't have the right thinking are poor. Well, preacher, I'm this way because... No, that's wrong thinking. When you begin to think, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you begin to think, I don't have to live in, my God, in a dilapidated lifestyle. I don't have to do this all of my life, but I can have better and be better than who I am or where who I am right now and how I was raised. Listen, you can outlive, you can rise above your geography. You can rise above your upbringing. You can rise above it. But in order to do it, you've got to change what you believe. Good preaching. Listen, I was raised in Alabama.
But I didn't marry my sister. My cousin, but not my sister. No, I'm kidding. Sherry's not my cousin. My oldest daughter, one time, my oldest daughter, Jillian, this is Lauren over here, but Jillian said one day, she said, "Daddy, when I grow up, I'm going to marry you." I go, "Baby, we don't live in Alabama. You can't do that." Amen. And yet I love Alabama. Just, you know, if you can't laugh at yourself, who can you? Anyway, belief is the knowledge that we can do something. That's all belief is, the knowledge that I can do something. The belief is the knowledge that we can do something. Man, you got to get that in your spirit. I don't have to fear the devil. I don't have to live in fear all my life. I don't have to fear. I can do something. I can be something. I can be better than where I am because Jesus gives me hope, right? It is the inner feeling that what we undertake, we can accomplish. Have you ever started? Listen, I've had to deal with myself because I know what it is. I am not mechanically inclined. Now, I'm not saying that you think yourself, I'm not saying that you just think yourself better and it's going to happen. No, you've got to do some things and you've got to have some reality. I realize that I'm probably never going to be able to dunk a basketball. One, I'm white. Two, I am 5'10½". Number three, you ever tried to get 200 pounds off the ground, it's tough. Right? I understand that. So you got to understand some realities. But I remember every project I would do, here's the words that I would say. When something went wrong, I would go, "Lord, I can't do anything." And I would say, "I can't do anything," or everything I start, it becomes a major project. And I had to stop the way that I was thinking, the way that I was speaking over myself. "Well, Pastor, you're just agreeing with what's going on." That's right, I was. But that's not what God said I can do. God said I can speak those things that aren't as though they were. And so I had to start thinking and change my belief of what I can do and what I can't do. See, for the most part, all of us have the ability to look at something and know whether or not we can do it. Don't we? Most of us do. Now, some people have an overstimulated imagination. You know, you a car mechanic, and all of a sudden, "I believe I can do brain surgery." No, you can't, bro. You're not going to start on me. One of the guys that I've known for 23 years came to our church for years and years, and he was an alcoholic. Then he was a good short order cook, and that's all he thought he could do. And then he began to hear teaching and preaching and begin to change his beliefs. And then he got to the point, most of y'all know Tony Waldron. Then he got to the point, he goes, "Shoot, I could do brain surgery." I go, "You're not doing it on me, bro. Matter of fact, you ain't cutting me, period. If you cut me, it's because we in a fight. That's why you. But what I'm saying is we've got to get beyond where we are right now. You don't have to be who you are right now. God said that he can do something better and greater with you. So in belief, there is power. In belief, there is power. See, it is power to pull yourself up. It is power when the world says you can't do any better than where you are. It is power when the world says you're a loser and you'll always be a loser. In the name of Jesus, no, I'm not. So I've got to change my belief that I wasn't born to live this lifestyle. I was born to do greater things. How do I change that? How do I begin to believe that, Pastor? By the word of God. "I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that he made my inward parts before the very foundation of the earth. He knew me and he knew who I was and what I was going to be." And I've got to begin to believe that in my life. Am I making sense to you? So in belief there is power. Our eyes are opened when you believe. Our opportunities become plain. And our visions become realities. Our beliefs control everything we do. Our beliefs. Because when you don't believe you can do something, you don't do it, right? If you really believe you don't do it, you can. Then our beliefs control everything we do. If I believe we can do it, you at least try it, right? You know, we were on vacation in Cancun, Mexico, and this old guy, we were doing one of the, what was that, cenotes? Cenotes. We were in the cenotes, and we were on this track and this adventure thing, and you know, and I'm not as strong as I once was, and I understand that. I'm getting a little older. Don't you say amen, I will come out there. And so there was this about a 30-foot cliff that the tour guide, I thought he was joking, said, "We need somebody to jump off the cliff." And then this one little girl said, "I will." And she goes, he's like, "All right, well, come on." And I went, "What?" I said, "I want to." And he goes, "You want to, old man?" And then I whipped him. No, he didn't say, "Old man." He goes, "You want to, Ronnie? Come on." And so my girls were with me. I said, "Jillian, you want to go?" Because she's not afraid of heights. I'm a little afraid of heights. But Jillian goes, "Yeah." So I asked Lauren, who's a little afraid of heights. I said, "Lauren, you want to?" She hesitated. But then she said, "Daddy didn't raise no punk." And so we all jumped off this cliff together. Because if you believe, what you believe controls, good Lord, come on. What, I'm looking at my watch. What you believe controls what we believe we can do. If we believe we can or we believe we cannot, we are correct. Well, I want that to sink in. If you believe you can or you believe that you can't, you're correct. I hear some people go, "Well, I don't believe in healing." Well, you're right. Because it's only for the believer. Amen. Right? "Well, Pastor, I don't believe that so and so can change." You're correct. But thank God, what other people believe about you doesn't matter. What you believe about yourself, that's what's matter. And God said that He has saved me and fearfully made me. So therefore, I can. My God. Look at somebody, slap them high five and tell them, "I can." So if we believe we can or believe we can, we are correct. Accomplishment is more than a matter of working harder. It's a matter of believing positively. It's called the sure enough factor. Sure enough. If you expect to succeed, sure enough, you will. If you expect to fail, sure enough, you will. We become outside. Get this. We become outside what we believe inside. So she began to, "Well then, Pastor, you change it by the word of God, what you believe inside." Step number three, when you change your expectation, you change your attitude. When you change your expectation, you change your attitude. When you expect things differently, your attitude changes. Right? Because I love Ben Franklin's quote. Here's what he said. "Blessed is the one who expects nothing, for he shall receive it." You know, I never go on a job. Well, Pastor, I know I've been doing this 26 years. But I never go on a job thinking I'm going to get fired. Because guess what? Eventually you will. I go into a job. Matter of fact, when I remember the supervisor before I started pastoring, and when the job I got at Winco, the supervisor had an interview with me. Let me help some of you. Can I just help some of you? All right. Let me help some of you with a job. No, I don't have a job for you, but let me help you. If you're going for a job interview, wash your clothes, iron them, put on the best you have, and clean up. Make sure your hair looks decent. Don't just get up out of bed and walk up there with some flip-flops and your pants hanging down. Talking about, "I need a job." Everybody needs a job. Go in there looking like you ready for the job. I went in, listen, I went to work for Wendy's. And I went into the interview with a three-piece suit on. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. I outdressed the supervisor. I didn't care. I wanted him to know I was dressed for success. I went in there and I told him, he said, "What's your goal in life?" I said, "Well, I don't know about goal in life, but my goal on this job is to have your job." He said, "Do what?" I go, "Oh, no, no." I said, "I'm not going to manipulate or connive to get your job." I said, "I'm going to make you look so good that eventually they're going to move you up and your job is going to be open and they're going to give it to me." Come on, somebody. Well, Pastor, Pastor, that's arrogance. No, no, no. Listen, you got to know. Somebody hear me. I don't know who I'm talking about because I wasn't raised that way. How did you get that, Pastor? The Word of God. I began to believe that the God that was in me was bigger than the stuff that was around me. I began to believe that the God that was in me is bigger than everything that's around me, everything that I was raised in. And guess what? Eventually, they promoted him and I got his job. Come on, somebody. Matter of fact, it went a little bit deeper than that. By the time I left the company, he and I were peers. How you doing? That's what I'm talking about. He wasn't over me anymore. That's right, Danny Strickland. That's what I'm talking about. If you're watching my home, come on. Step number three. I don't. Where am I at? Give me my next one. Your expectations are going to determine your attitude. So if you expect, I mean, think about it. If you expect bad things, you don't get up happy. You get up in the muddy grubs. If you expect bad things, like, oh, God, I can't. Oh, Jesus. I just want to lay in bed. I don't even want to face it. I don't want. But in your attitude, when your expectation is, bless God, something's good going to happen this morning. You can't wait to get up out of bed. You go, I can't wait to get to church this morning. I wonder what the Lord's going to do this morning. I wonder what God's going to do through me today. It changes your attitude. Because, all right, listen. Oh, where am I at? Let me go. I got to go. All right. I heard a story the other day, or read a story, I should say, the other day. That about a man who went to a fortune teller who looked into the crystal ball and said, oh my, this is not good. I look into this ball and see that you will be poor and unhappy by the age of 45. And the guy said, oh, that's terrible. Well, then what's going to happen after 45 and I'm old and I'm unhappy and I'm poor? What's going to happen? The fortune teller said, you're going to get used to it. I said, I want my $39.95 back. Because your expectation is going to determine your future. Most people get used to being average. Well, I just want to be normal. What's normal? People are crazy. I've been in some places, in some families, that's normal. I don't want that normal. What's normal? Listen. I don't want to get used to being average. I don't want to get used to being second best. The first and most important step of success is the expectation that we can succeed. Nelson Boswell said that. Step number four. Am I helping anybody? When you change your attitude, you change your behavior. When you change your attitude, your behavior changes. When your expectation changes your attitude, and when your attitude, you change your behavior. You know, I've had people tell me, Pastor, why don't you act your age? Because I've never been this age before. So I don't know what this age acts like. I know what other people act like, and I don't want to act like them. Come on. Because I've seen some 50-year-olds and some 70 and 80-year-olds act the same. Nope. Not going to happen. Not as long as I can. But when you change your attitude, you change your behavior. When your attitude, when you're expecting all the things to go bad, then your behavior changes. But when you're expecting good things, your behavior changes. Oh, let me help some of you. Are you ready? William James was right when he said, that which holds our attention determines our action. What holds your attention? Because what holds your attention will determine your action. When our attitude begins to change, when we become involved with something, our behavior begins to change. You ever get involved with something and it changed, and you looked around and it changed your behavior? Because your attention was held by something. All right? The reason that we have to make personal changes is that we cannot take people on a trip that we have not made ourselves. So too many Christians try to be travel agents instead of tour guides. They try to send people where they've never been. And we've got too many preachers trying to send people where they've never been. But I want, you know, when I go somewhere, I don't want a tour guide that gives you a brochure and say, bon voyage, have a good time. And you know, you're going right past stuff that would be significant if you were with a tour guide. Well, that's pretty. Yeah. When I went to Poland, I was glad that Pastor Wojciech Vol was my host pastor and he was my tour guide. And he would take me to all the old buildings in Poland. And I would say, hey, what about this building? He goes, oh, that's not old. I go, but it's beautiful. He goes, oh, it's only 200 years. His words, he says, I consider old more than 500 years old. I go, then, man, I'm a baby. Come on, somebody. A tour guide says, let me take you where I've been. Let me tell you what I've gone through. Let me tell you what I know, and let me show you what I've experienced in life. See, listen, I don't want to, if you've never, help me, Jesus. I don't want marital advice from somebody who said, me and my husband or me and my spouse have never had a cross word. I don't need to talk to you. I want to talk to somebody who said, man, I'm going to tell you right now, I almost killed my spouse. I almost stuck them in a gator hole. Oh, that's it. But you didn't, right? No, I didn't. I need to talk to you. Because what caused you not to do that? Right? That's who I want to talk to. I want to talk to somebody who's been there and made it through. Oh, somebody hear me. You didn't hear that. I want to talk to somebody who's been there but made it through. I might have got a scar here. I might have got a hurt over here, but I made it through. How did you make it through? By the grace of God. But what I've been through, let me tell you how I got through. Let me tell you how I made it through. I want to talk to somebody who's been there. I want a tour guide in my life, not just somebody who's a travel agent. Glory to God. Step number 5, when you change your behavior, you change your performance. Change your behavior. Let me tell you, listen, I'm going to brag on Josh a little bit. When Josh got here 2 years ago, I about killed him 8, 9, 10 times. I lost count. I wanted to kill him. But some things begin to change. He began to change his beliefs. He began to change his attitude. He began to change and eventually began to change his behavior. And his behavior changed his performance. See, I remember when I had to be here every time because old knucklehead boy, I wasn't sure if he was going to make it or not. But his behavior began to change, which changed his performance. So now I can come in a little later if I want to. Come on, somebody. See, here's what Leroy Ames said this. How can you know what is in your heart? How can you know what's in your heart? Easy. Look at your behavior. Well, I didn't mean to do this. I don't know why I did that. Because it was in your heart. All of us have. How many has done things you didn't mean to do? And you're like, you know, it's like spilt milk. You're like, oh, how'd that happen? My wife and I were having pizza last night. And my wife dropped a piece of pepperoni pizza onto our little dog. And son, before my wife could get down, the dog had everything but the crust. Because we don't give our dog people food. Boy, he ate up that pepperoni pizza. And she had to tear the, it was stuffed crust too. I said, oh, you wasted the best part. So she had to tear the stuffed crust out of his mouth. He started licking the carpet. Anything that was, and my wife said, oh my goodness, I've never done that before. I said, neither has Sammy. Look at your behavior. There's no better sign of a heart than the life. Listen to me. There's no better sign of the heart than the life. The truest test of where a person is going is their behavior. What are you doing? You cannot soar with eagles when you're pecking in the dirt with a bunch of chickens. Unfortunately, most people would rather live with old problems than new solutions. Well, I've just learned to live with it. Why? I don't want to learn to live with my issues. When Jesus said I could give them to him. When Jesus said I would cure you. When Jesus said that I'll take them away. When Jesus said I will deliver you from. Why would I want to live with those issues? We would rather be comfortable than correct. My God, somebody hear me. We would rather stay in a routine than to make changes. Get out of your routine. Get out of that and change. Well, Pastor, you're talking about it's all me. No, it's you with the help of Christ. It's you with the Word of God. Don't just read the Word of God. How can I get out of this? How can I get out? How can I get? But God, what can you show me through this? How can I get out and not ever come back to this place again? How many of us have said, God, if you'll ever get me out, I ain't ever going to come back again. But you keep doing it because your belief did not change. Well, that's right, preacher. You talk to them addicts. You talk to them people who need that. Yes, right, because I'm religious. I'm Christian. I'm talking to you. Because Christians only do those things that they believe too. If you ever get tithing in you, oh, where's your shout now? Where's your shout now? If you ever get giving in you, if you ever start believing, honey, let me just tell you that it's great. If you ever get living right in you, if you ever get coming to the house of God in you, if you ever begin to believe that, it'll change your behavior. It'll change your attitude. You won't, every time they get up to give, receive an offering, you won't go, oh, good Lord, let me see how much I can give that nobody else will know. Come on, somebody. You'll begin to go, let me give my tithe. Let me give my offering. Let me give unto God, because I know that if I cast my bread on the water, not many days hence, it's going to come back to me. Because whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God said, I'll give it back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give into your bosom? Let me just get it out. Woo! When you begin to believe that he'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Man, there are times I'll take out my wallet and take out my checkbook and say, God, the devil's been running rampant in my life, in the area of my finances, and you said you would rebuke the devourer. Let me bring in remembrance of your word. I know that without a shadow of a doubt, I'm a tither, I'm a giver. So therefore, God, I rebuke the devil and I believe that what I say, I shall have. My God, that's good preaching. Even when we know that the changes are going to be better for us, we often don't make them because we feel uncomfortable or we feel awkward about making that kind of a change. Until we get used to living with something that is not comfortable, we cannot get any better. You talk to any physical therapist in here and they will tell you, you know, I'm from the conclusion, hey, doc, it hurts when I do this. And the doc goes, don't do that. Cool. Right? But that ain't the way to do it. Because if you get something hurt and you don't work it out, then you're going to get used to living with an ailment, right? If you can't lift your shoulder, if you don't work it out, you know, well, and listen, my dad has passed away now in January. My dad went to the rehab center and only did exactly what they wanted him to do. Nothing more. All right, we want you to pedal 9 times. And here's what they said. There's no physical reason why you can't get up and walk. And I love this. Boy, this nurse was incredible. My dad said, I want to go home. And the nurse said, okay. Get up and go home. And he said, I can't. She goes, exactly. And some of us go, I can't change. You can. But you got to start the process. You got to start somewhere. Man, you know, the only surgery I've ever really had is a surgery on my knee when they went in there and trimmed some of my, what's that? Meniscus? Yeah, meniscus. They trimmed that meniscus in one, I don't even remember which leg, I think, I don't know. They trimmed one of it from an old football injury. I ain't played football in 30 years, whatever. But they said it was old football injury, so they had to trim it. And you know what? Man, they made me do some stuff that was uncomfortable. I go, oh, that hurts. They go, it's supposed to. I said, well, if I slap you, that's going to hurt. Is it supposed to? Oh, it was one of our church members. She knew who I was. She goes, Pastor. I go, all right, whatever. But that's what we do. We don't want to do it because it's uncomfortable. Let me tell you something else that's uncomfortable. When you begin to change, I got to quit. I got one more point, though, I think. I don't know. When you begin to change, people around you are not going to be really excited about it. And let me tell you one reason why a lot of people won't be excited about it. Especially your old crowd. They're not going to be excited about it. Why? Because they like having you in the crew. Or maybe you were like me. I was the money man in the crew. I financed the party. Come on, somebody. Why? Because I was a hard worker. Other slugs wasn't. They just mooched off me. But they're not going to like it. But here's another reason why they're not going to like it. Because if they see you change, then it's going to eliminate their excuse why they can't change. Last, step number 6. When you change your performance, you change your life. When you change your performance, you change your life. When you change your performance, you change your life. Change makes a person feel alone, even if others are going through it. Now hear me closely. Because you say, oh man, goodness, I know that others are changing, but I don't think they have the difficulty that I'm having. You know, I say this about weight loss because I don't like vegetables and I don't like anything that's usually good for me. I don't like, you know, like in a salad. My wife had a salad the other day and I said, I could probably lose a little bit more weight if I liked anything in that salad. Lettuce? Nope. Tomatoes? Absolutely not. Cucumbers? No. Cheese? I'm good. Croutons? Bring it on. Right? Ham? Oh, yeah. Chicken? Come on. Carnivore? Quit pointing to your mind. I know it ain't in my mind. I still don't like it, though. But you feel like, well, you know, and people come, everybody, the waitress has always asked me, you want a salad? I go, you can't get an obese body like this eating a salad. You want me to change my menu? Come on. But there is something about the awkwardness and the time that it takes to make proper changes that just seems to isolate you from everyone else, even when you're in a group. You just kind of feel, but my situation's a little bit different. And I think I'm just not quite as fast as the other ones. And there's a tendency to feel isolated, lonely, withdrawn when you're going through this change. Now listen, I'm not talking about the change of life, ladies. Or men. Well, men, they don't go through that change. Hogwash. Corvette. Psh. Little something on the side. Psh. Better get your hormones up in you. Well, y'all better quit pushing on me. What's my next one, Mike? Come on, help me get out of this. It's easier to turn a failure into success than an excuse into possibility. Because excuses, we all have them. And they're mostly like armpits. Everybody's got them. Most of them stink. A person can fail and turn around and understand their failure and make it a success. But I want you to know something. A person who makes excuses for everything will never truly succeed. But. Quit making excuses. You know, hey, let me brag on it a little bit. That was his favorite word. But. Why didn't you get here on time? But. And eventually, here's what he started doing. Son, why you? I was lazy, Pastor. I was lazy. Well, thank you for being truthful. And turn around and let me kick you in the behind. When you excuse what you're doing and excuse where you are, you allow the exceptions. You fall or you fail to reach your potential. So don't you know some people who have an excuse for everything, don't point at them if they're here. Especially if you sit beside them and married to them. Why they could not. That ain't in my nose. I just, you know. But there's always an excuse why they should not, did not, would not, have not, will not, blah, 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 blah. Do something. What's the old saying? If its and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. Is that bad? Some of y'all looking at me like that's bad. I think it's all right. All right. See, y'all the guinea pig, not cooey. But y'all the guinea pig for the next service anyway. Because my wife will be there. I got to straighten up a little bit, you know. It's impossible to turn excuses into possibilities. You got to quit making excuses. All right, I'm done. Come on. Just give me the keyboard because I don't have time. We don't have time. Well, I got to go. What's my next one? Come on. Hope is the foundational principle for all change. Hope. Paul said that if we are men with no hope, then we're men most miserable. Do you got to have hope in Christ? Well, who is our hope? Christ. Christ. Jesus is our hope. He's our hope, man. So if you've got Jesus, you can turn it around. You can change. The problem is, again, and I know I've been saying this here lately a lot, but the problem is we want Jesus to be a microwave Jesus when usually he's a crockpot God. Then I didn't say crackpot, crockpot. Takes a little time. Now, can God do it in an instant? Absolutely. But here's what I've noticed. That if I get people out of a situation without any training, then they get right back into that situation time and time again because somebody will bail them out. And listen to me. If you bail out everybody around you, then they ain't ever going to learn how not to get into that situation. But if you claw, if you have to get isolated, if you have to be alone and come out of some of that stuff and change your behavior and change your performance, then it changes your life. People change because they have hope. If people do not have hope, they will not change. You are responsible for the changes that you make in your life. But the good news is that you can make the changes you need to make in your life when and especially when you have Jesus in your life. But we want Jesus to be poof the magic dragon. Jesus, I give my heart to you. Poof, everything's good. No. Jesus said, in this life you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. I mean, Christians just aggravate me sometimes. Well, I don't know what's going on. I'm a Christian. There's still stuff you got to do. Stand to your feet. I know our Christian education hours already began, and I apologize for going a little long, but I felt like I just needed to. Spirit Life team, could I have you real quickly? And I know that, again, that time's getting away, but I just feel there might be some folks. Come on, band. I should have let you. Come on. I just feel the wooing of the Holy Spirit. Come here, Tony. Come this way. I know we tell you always, don't come up this way. Come on this way. For time's sake. Come on. Right up here. Come on. Come on, give me some fingers. He still went around. See? Hard head. Come on, John. Bring your big head stuff up here. I love you. Hey. Man, are you tired of thinking about it? Are you tired of looking at everybody's life and going, man, I wish my life could be like theirs? Well, first of all, God never called you for your life to be like theirs. God called you for your life to be like yours. But not yours, the ones that He has prepared for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The one he's prepared for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus, that's the first step.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.